See what you can do.
We're blessed today to have Micah building trains and also to have Nancy here preaching with us. I just want to introduce her. There's a little blurb about her in the bulletin. Nancy is a longtime resident of Oakland. She currently lives in Amaryville, but we'll say that's close enough. She loves golden retrievers. Ask her about hers. She has a very handsome husband, and she's an avid skier. And we were blessed to first meet Nancy years ago when she came as an interim pastor to the church in Fairfield, where Christy was the youth director. And so I've been mindful of that all morning, of the blessing of God's connections. Whether we are young, trying to build trains, or wise in years, serving as interim pastors, we're blessed to have Nancy. So Nancy's coming to us. She just finished a term as interim pastor in Washington. Two of them. And so she's probably very happy to come to a church where she can leave as soon as it's over. Unless she wants to stay and solve our problems. So we're blessed to have Nancy with us this morning as she brings us the word after Margaret reads the scriptures to us.
Up with that.
The scripture this morning is taken from three readings. The first one is 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, and then 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 3 through 14. These passages start on page 324 of your Pew Bible. And the third one, John 6, verse 51, starts on page 1034 of your Pew Bible. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. 1 Kings 2, 10 through 12. Then David slept with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. The time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 3 through 14. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David only. He sacrificed and offered incense at the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, although I am only a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life." And from John chapter 6, verse 51. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. God bless this reading of the word.
One of the great, oh, and I need to turn it on, don't I? Testing one, two, three, testing one, two, three, testing one, two, three. Testing one, two, three, testing one, two, three. Nope, okay. How about this one? One of the greatest things about being a follower of Christ is that as Christians, we gather together on a regular basis. No matter where we are, perhaps physically, if we're traveling or just someplace else far from home, if need be, if we need to find that time to reconnect, to be with our people, to connect with brothers and sisters in Christ, we can do that. We can find a place to come together and be as a community. Or perhaps sometimes our heart feels stressed, doesn't feel like we're quite that we're in need of something, and we too can come to church to find solace, to find support, to find care that can empower us throughout the week. Because there's so many things that can happen in church. We can feel God's presence through music, the joy, the rhythm, the words that speak to us. We can feel moved by a prayer that is spoken that gives voice the hardships of this week. We can feel God's presence when we connect with one another. We take time to listen to the ups and downs of what we are going through. And for today's script, for today's sermon, I'd like to give voice to just that thing. That thing about how life can feel so good some of the times, and some of the time life can feel really kind of cruddy. It's true that life can feel pretty good sometimes. There are moments in our lives when we feel like we have our arms around things kind of, sort of, or at least part of our lives. There are moments when our families, our loved ones seem like they're okay, that we're making some pretty good decisions, and that God's gifts are really easy to see. And then there are those moments when life seems to take a turn. Often, that turn didn't happen overnight. Often, there's things that have been bubbling up and happening all along, but somehow they emerge, they break open, and it feels like life has tilted. I don't know about you, but I know I have been feeling that way these past few weeks. It has been heartbreaking for me to see time and time again individuals who are each a unique child of God, precious with gifts, with good things and challenging things, just like us. People that have a part of them that represents a title. And somehow that individual, that precious child of God, gets reduced to that title that completely dehumanizes them. The title of LGBTQ in Orlando. The title of African American in Louisiana and Minnesota and throughout our country. The title of police officer in Dallas, Texas. And we mourn for the injustice that occurs and we struggle with so much. So it's good to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, to come together and pray. and ask that God's wisdom emerge. In our Old Testament today, we too find King Solomon praying. And he too is praying that God's wisdom will emerge. Here's how the story goes. His father was the great King David of Israel. Name sound familiar? If we can remember, King David was a mighty king. He expanded the Israel nation. He brought a lot of protection. He brought a lot of strength to the Israel people. So people felt secure when King David was on the throne. And when King David passed, and it was time for his son Solomon to step up to be a king, there were a lot of expectations for Solomon. But instead of Solomon specifically going after power, great territory, great wealth, instead of going after those things, Solomon was able to rise to the challenge by putting first the priority in all things, looking for God's wisdom. In our passage today, God appears to Solomon in a dream, like Solomon is praying, and God asks Solomon what gifts he would like to receive from God. It would be expected that a king would look for gifts of wealth and power and things that would personally benefit him. But instead of looking for things that personally benefited Solomon looked for his deepest desire to serve others. In the very beginning, he sets out to have the mentality of looking to the needs of others, each person a child of God, each person deserving safety, food, shelter, justice, love, care, all those things, even if that person feels different than we do, and especially if that person is less privileged and more vulnerable. Doing right by others is also what God calls us to do. And we do that when we gather in this place. We do that by regularly practicing being in the presence of God and looking for how God is calling us to do right by each other, by listening, by caring, by looking beyond those things, so that we are empowered to do so. But at the heart of it, it's not just that Solomon is trying to look to do the best for someone else. At the heart of it, Solomon is simply trying to do the best by God. And isn't that what we are called to do? To show up, to do the best that we can, to be God's servants. One of the funny things about the scripture is that even though Solomon asks for the gift of wisdom, God has already placed that gift in his heart. But by surrendering it, God is simply empowering Solomon to use that gift. Here's a great example in today's life. How many of you know the movie The Wizard of Oz? Anybody not know the movie The Wizard of Oz? All right. Well, if you remember in The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy and her friends, they go to seek the great and powerful wizard because they are looking for their deepest desire in life. And in the end, the wizard gives them each thing that they seek. But as the story goes on, we realize that even though the wizard is identifying it, the truth is each one had it all along. Think about it. What was the scarecrow's desire in life? Tell me. A brain. And in the end, the great and powerful wizard empowered his brain. But when you look back in this story, when his friends needed help, when his friends needed a strong brain, Scarecrow had that gift. He had that talent. He was able to utilize it for the goods of others. The great and powerful wizard just pointed that out to him. The Tin Man, what did he want? But when you look back in the story, think of the moments when the tin man's great compassion came forward. His heart for his friends came forward. Again, the gift was already there. The lion, what did the lion want? Can we show the lion? No worries. There's the lion, courage. But when you remember the story, though he was very afraid, when his friends were threatened, the lion found his courage to protect others. Each character all along had that gift. It just needed to be sparked and empowered. Now, I realize it is an iffy comparison. Theologically, it kind of makes me really uncomfortable and gives me the jitters to compare the great and powerful wizard, who was clearly very flawed, to our mighty God. But think about it for a minute. How often has God's goodness emerged because God empowers, ignites, gives a spark and a gift that is already there? How often during the past few weeks, as these events have unfolded and we have felt sadness and heartbreak, have we experienced in ourselves and experienced in others an igniting of passion? Those who stand up with a voice to say, love is greater than hate. Those who are willing to model equality is better than reducing someone to a title. Those who are willing to stand up for nonviolence. How many of us have seen this igniting of a better way of looking at things, God goodness also emerging throughout the weeks? So I wonder, what are some gifts that God might be nudging in us? It could be simply to stop and pay attention, to be kind, to follow something through. Or God might be calling us to something bigger that God wants us to do to help in this situation. I don't know what that looks like for you. But I do know that when two or three are gathered, we are empowered. We are empowered here, and we are empowered here, and we are empowered here, and we are empowered here. And we go out in the world to do our part in whatever messy way that might happen. Now, as we do so, I'd like for us to keep a couple things in mind. One, life never unfolds like we think it's going to, does it? I know for me, sometimes I think I'm pretty smart and I'm pretty insightful, and I think something should unfold a certain way, and God laughs at me again and says, no, actually, here's a better way. And I have a story that gives an example of that. There was an only survivor of a shipwreck. A man was in a shipwreck, and he washed ashore to a deserted island. It looks beautiful, but if it's a deserted island and we're the only one on it, it might not be very easy. He prayed feverishly for God to come and rescue him, and every day he scanned the horizon, looking for a ship, looking for help, scanned the skies. Exhausted, he did manage to gather some firewood and build a little bit of a hut that could protect him from the elements, that could protect his few belongings. It was driftwood, and it provided a little shelter. It was all he had. One day he went out to gather food, and he came back, and his little shelter had gone up in flames. And that smoke was just circling up to the sky. He broke down and he sobbed, and he asked God why, because he said the worst thing had happened. What little he had was now gone, and he felt devastated and hopeless. However, he awoke the next morning to the sound of a ship that was approaching the island, and it had come to rescue him. "How did you know I was here?" the man said, and the rescuers replied, "Well, we saw your smoke signal." We never know what God's going to use. Another thing to keep in mind as we go out to try to serve is that sometimes God asks us to look at things from a different perspective. You know how it is. Somehow we can get stuck seeing the way we want to see things, and we miss what we're looking for. Sometimes God is calling us out of ourselves to look at something from a different point of view so that perhaps we can understand. And I have a story for that one as well. There's once a woman who had a lovely pair of expensive earrings, and she wore them only on special occasions. One evening, as she was changing, one of her earrings fell off and rolled somewhere on the floor. The woman searched everywhere for her earring, but couldn't find it. Now, this woman was a wealthy woman, and she was elegantly dressed. She didn't want to have to get down on her hands and knees. It just wasn't her way to find the earring. But she realized that she was not going to find it otherwise. So she pulled up her dress and she crawled on the floor, and behold, she found her earring. Now it's true, crawling around on the floor may not seem like a big deal, but for her, it was a humble act. It changed her point of view so that she could find what she was looking for. What too might God be asking us to look at differently? In our frustrations, it's easy to get narrow-minded. In what way might God be asking us to step out of it, to consider a different perspective, so that we too can have our deepest desire, the fulfillment of God's goodness? So my call for us this week is that reminder of doing right by others. That call from us this week is that reminder that we're really trying to do right by God. And then whenever we surrender, whenever we hold our hands out to serve, God empowers us to find a way. Praise be to God. Amen. Pray with me if you will. Lord, it's been a rough few weeks. And amongst the goodness of our lives, our hearts are broken, and we often don't know how to respond. Help us to remember that in each and every one of us, you have given gifts. And when we open our hands and show a willingness to serve, you will empower those gifts to serve, to bring your goodness in the world in whatever small or big way that you call us to. Help us to remember that sometimes it means looking outside of ourselves, looking from a different perspective. And sometimes it means giving up expectations and trusting in you. But help us, O Lord, in whatever way we are challenged, to hold our hands out to you and have that desire to serve. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand as we are able as we respond to God's word. You can follow along on the PowerPoint. On the paper versions, you can also have the music to this song that might be a little bit new to you as we sing together.